Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. I'm going to stop right there. The word transgression in this scripture means rebellion. And then the word sin is actually talking about a moral offense. It's talking about a guilt for doing something. So let me read it again, and then we'll get into it. And every time you see transgression, think of it as rebellion. And every time you see sin, think of it as guilt. So blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose rebellions are forgiven, whose guilts are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquities. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteousness. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Now, there's so much I could get into in there, and I'm going to hit a couple things real quick. When we get to verse 3, it says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted through my groaning all day long. It's talking about the suffering that David had through keeping his sin in from God, pretending that God didn't know. I don't know about you, but if we truly believe that God is who he says he is and scripture is exactly what he says he is, you can't hide anything from God. You can't hide your internal thoughts, your internal feelings. You can't hide any of that. But what do? We hide. Guess who did it first? Adam and Eve. What did they do? They hid because of their guilt. But what does it say at the beginning? It says, blessed is the one whose rebellions are forgiven, transgressions, whose guilts are covered. Whose guilts are covered. Have you ever, raise your hand if you've ever felt guilty for something. As I look at this scripture, it talks about how for day and night your hand was heavy on me. Have you ever felt heavy from guilt? One thing I despise more than the cold is extreme heat. Because with heat, you can't get any relief if you're not near water. With cold, you can actually, you know, you can either use some jumping jacks if you're really cold. You can do something. You can cover up, whatever. With the heat, the only thing that can save you is cold. And in this scripture here, it says, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. That's how guilty they were. Ever been in the tropics when there's a heat wave coming through? We had a little heat wave here. That's nothing compared to some of these heat waves that go through California, where it's unbearable, where people just go to movies to get to the air conditioning. It doesn't even matter what's playing. And it's that draining, that exhausting. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. And then he goes on to say, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt, it actually uses the word now, of my sin. On the cross, Jesus was uncovered so that we could be covered. And we are offered forgiveness in the offering of Jesus for the sinfulness that's in our hearts, for the rebellion, for the guilt that's in our hearts. We're offered that forgiveness because of Jesus. And so we have to look at the problem with the world and the problem internally with our corruption. We are rebellious. We don't like authority. We don't like to always do the right thing. Maybe go up 200th Street in Langley, or even 176 around quitting time, 5, 4, 5, 6 o'clock. Let's see how non-rebellious you are. How frustrated you get because of things aren't going your way. I see the other side of the frustration where people end up in an accident or worse, all because of frustration, all because of self-centeredness, which is massive, and it's throughout the world. It's not just those that are Gentiles, those that don't believe in Jesus. It's us. We're self-centered. And so the reality of sin is easily perceived in our world by anyone who cares to open their eyes. When you look at the governments, when you look at social settings, when you look at big business, when you see that those structures are corrupt and can be corrupt. I'm not saying fully, and let's not get into political, you know, whatever. But you hear about it all the time. I mean, right now, our country is going through some nonsense. The United States. That's it. There's lots going on. We don't know all the ins and outs, whether you like which government. And you know, there's Christians on all sides, okay? There's Christians that are liberals. There are Christians that are conservatives. There are even Christians that are NDP. So realize that there are corrupt systems all throughout. It doesn't mean just one country or another. It's all within. And so we look at that, and I have to add to this, corruption for the big business, social systems, governments. I have to say the church. And that's upsetting. Why do you think we have so much trouble with Christianity in general? Andy Stanley says this really great quote. He says that you can do a lot of horrible things in the name of Christianity, but you cannot do those same things in the name of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus Christ. Don't follow Christianity. I know that's a big, yeah, but what I'm saying is be specific. Follow Jesus. Don't follow organized religion. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when I read the quotes of Jesus and his commandments, it blows my mind because we miss it with Christianity. We can miss it. I'm not saying don't go out there and say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I don't believe in Christianity. Please, that's not what's being said. But what I'm saying is follow the one whom this scripture is written about. Follow him. Don't worship this book. Worship who they're talking about. Worship Jesus, the one who is in it. From the beginning to the end, and I should correct myself, books and letters, to be theologically accurate for y'all. Follow Jesus. Really, we could end it here, but we're going to keep going just for fun. What's the difficult thing to see? What's the most difficult thing to see when we talk about corruption, when we talk about sin? It's our internal corruption. It's what's inside of us. It's easy to talk about the sin or the guilt or the brokenness or the wrongdoings out there. But when we talk about here, this is where it becomes difficult. This is where it's hard. Because I can't see inside what you are like. You can't see inside of me what I'm like. These things can be covered and hidden by ourselves, but not by God. We can hide those feelings, those thoughts, those things. So to put it another way, it's easy to spot the injustice in the world. But during Lent, the season of Lent, we're asked to look at ourselves. Actually, we're asked to look at ourselves all the time. But during the season of Lent, it's another form of reflection. And that's kind of what we're doing. It's not just a Catholic thing. It's not just a Christian thing. It's literally walking and reflecting towards what Christ has done on the cross and how he rose from the dead. And we need to do that every day. We need to do that through all our life, but this is specific because it's a celebration. Scripture talks about celebrating, and we're going to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in a month. But we want to walk through it and keep it healthy and remember and check ourselves. And so in this scripture, in Psalms 32, the very first word uses a term, it's called transgression. And we just talked about that. And the Hebrew word is pashah. And in that comes a whole bunch of incredible things, but it really means self-centered rebellion. I know I said earlier it means rebellion, but it's actually self-centered rebellion. It's what's in here. Because most of the time, we're worried about ourselves. And that's why it becomes a self-centered rebellion. St. Augustine, in his book Confessions, he gives a story about his youth. And in his youth, him and a few buddies decide to go and steal some pears from a tree. I know you're like, whoa, step back. That's horrific. Call the police. No. But back then, you don't steal from other people's yards. You don't steal from there because it's their fruit. And it's not that he didn't have pears of his own. And it's not that he didn't have better pears of his own. The fact was, he stole someone else's pears. I know it seems silly, but it's incredible. And what he says is this: but my pleasure was not in the pears, it was in the crime itself. Because of rebellion, self-centered rebellion. Something they didn't need. He has it. Take it from somebody else. And it's this self-centeredness that is a root of the problem and the problems and evil in this world. And so self-centeredness ignores the good and the right commands of God's word. Completely ignores it. And so what do we do? What do we do? Why are we rebellious? Well, we're rebellious for rebellion's sake. We just like to be rebellious. You're like, well, then there's obviously no hope. Well, that's where you're wrong. You see, sin and self-centeredness is a worldwide problem. It's not just outside. It's not just in the church. It's everywhere. And so we have to ask ourselves, where is God in sin and confession? Where is God in sin and confession? If he can't look upon us because of his sin, now let's go before Jesus. Where is God in this rebellion, in our rebellion, in our rebellion, in our sin, in our guilt? Well, I love the poem Footprints. I don't need to read it for you. You get the gist. Basically, it's saying, you know what? This person is crying out, asking, where were you, God, when I was going through this? We only see one set of footprints. They got a really long stride, and they walk very straight, so that's impressive. But at the end, it says, well, while you're going through all that, it was actually Jesus who's the one who was carrying. I was the one who was carrying you through this in this poem. And then you realize, oh, God is carrying our burdens. Jesus is carrying our burdens. But before we answer the question, where is God in sin and confession, we have to talk about a couple things first. First, we want to talk about David in this scripture. He says, I did not cover up my iniquity. He takes full ownership. Takes full ownership. I did not cover up my iniquity. Meaning he couldn't. And we tend to, in our world, minimize our own actions, and then we minimize the responsibility of the problem that we are in or created ourselves. In other words, it's no big deal. Let's just stick it under the rug and try to cover it up, but make it not such a big deal. David in this says, I didn't cover it up to you. I didn't cover it up to you. I decided I'm not covering this up anymore. Secondly, David doesn't indulge in self-pity, but what he does is he engages in true confession to God. David said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you notice he doesn't say, I will confess my transgressions to the entire neighborhood. No, to the Lord. That's where it's most important. Getting help in other ways, that's a whole other story. But confessing it to the Lord is the most important thing. Just like how worship isn't about what's going on up here, worship is about what's going on right here. And I heard a great quote last night. And this person said that when you come to church and you're here to worship, it's not how was worship, it's how did you worship? How did you worship? That's tough. How did you worship? And so he engaged in true confessions. If you look at 2 Corinthians, and I don't have it up there, but 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, godly sorrow brings repentance and leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. You see, self-pity and woe is me type attitude isn't going to change you, but a true confession to the Lord, a true confession to God, leads to that forgiveness and salvation, leads to that heaviness that we talked about in this psalm, about how hot it was in the summer and how it just felt like everything was on and it was heavy. It relieves that. It takes that off when we confess it to God and choose to go down a different path. There's a difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. And it's kind of an illustration when a toddler gets caught breaking the rules. Toddlers love to accept responsibility for their actions. I don't know if you've noticed that about the little heathens, but when they get in trouble, it's the blame game. It's the sweep it under the rug. I don't know anything about this. I didn't do that. They made me do it. All sorts of excuses. And the apologies begin to flow. But really, the motivation behind all this sobbing and horror is that, I got caught. I got caught. You see, being sorry is similar to a worldview of not confessing. It's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry I have to deal with the consequences of my actions. But godly sorrow talks about the wounding of the other person. And it's not self-centered. It's ultimately the Father's heart. So it turns from being self-centered to external, to worrying about others. And so David takes ownership of this. And then something incredible happens, and this is what everything comes down to, and it's amazing, and we forget this, but number three, David accepts God's forgiveness, and you need to accept God's forgiveness as well. You can't be held down in that guilt. You can't continue to wallow in it. You have to ask forgiveness and make steps forward to not go that way again. You see, David writes, blessed is the one whose sins the Lord does not count against them. Paul actually quotes David's words in Romans 4, 5-8, and he says, however, to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited with righteousness. See, David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one who God credits righteousness apart from works. Okay, when we're talking about faith and works. And he says this, David says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin in the Lord will never count against them. Now, those are strong words. What do you mean never counts against them? Well, this verse is talking about the future. This verse is talking about the forgiveness of guilt and wrongdoings and moral issues because of Jesus. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. The only way that can be done is by a final sacrifice, who is Jesus. Who is Jesus. And so Paul's point in Romans is that David is ultimately referring to Jesus and what he was going to do for the whole entire world. And that's why the crucifixion is so important in this, because of what Jesus went through. A person who is crucified would be stripped naked, nailed on a cross for the whole world to see. For the whole world to see. Exposed, ridiculed, mocked. Just a horrible event. It was shameful and it was ridiculously gory. But because Jesus was totally uncovered on the cross, we now are covered. Because he was uncovered and exposed, died and defeated death, we are now covered from those sins, from our guilt, from our transgressions, from our wrongdoing, because of what he did, the final work on the cross. So because of what he went through, he's covered your sin. What does that mean? It means in our sin and in our struggles, Christ has already paid the price. Give it over to him. Don't carry it around. Don't carry around that guilt that we talked about at the beginning. Don't carry that with you. Don't carry the rebellion. You don't have to be rebellious. You see, we talk about we want to be free as humans in general. Many people look at Christianity as a crutch. But I'm telling you, when you are bound to rebellion and guilt, you're a slave. This is New Testament, people. You're a slave to your guilt, to your sin, to your wrongdoing. And so those that don't believe think they're free because, oh, Christianity's a crutch, I gotta lean on that. But they're bound. They're bound by their sinful nature. When you accept Jesus Christ, you are truly free. Would you not rather be free for all the good things that Jesus could do, for all the good things that God cares about, free from guilt, free from offense? Or would you rather be bound by guilt and wrongdoings and struggle? That's why Paul talks about in Romans 7 about the inner struggle of man with guilt and sin. It's time we laid everything down, and it's time that we recognize the importance of this message that Jesus has brought to us, that God has brought to us in his word. Because I'll tell you right now, when we go and do this neighborhood block party, first of all, they're going to know us by what? How we said it like 14 times today, love each other, right? Neighbor, love our neighbor as ourself. They're going to know us. And we have a message for them. Not something we're going to ram down their throat. We're just going to show love. That's it, love. Because we want them to hear. They don't need to be enslaved in their guilt. As Christians, as believers in Jesus, you don't have to be enslaved from your guilt of past things. It doesn't. Let go. Let it go. Ask God forgiveness and make changes and move forward. Confession to the Lord is healthy. It's good. And get around people that will support you, that will strengthen you. That's why we have life groups. And I'll beat this till the day I die, which could be very soon if you don't stop stressing me out about this whole love thing. We need to be involved in a group that's going to come around us. With all our flaws, you will be exposed. But that's okay, because there's a little bit of exposure to your personality is a good thing, right? I'm not saying go to a life group and unlock the floodgates. No, I'm not saying that. Be smart, be safe, be wise. But when you confess to the Lord, that's safe. And when you get around a group of people that you can talk to and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, that's when you're moving forward. You will be free from the bonds of sin, like we talked about, free from all the guilt, all the transgressions, all the wrongdoings, all the moral issues. You'll be free from that because you've chosen a different path. We all have a path to choose. There is only two ways. You go one way, it's eternal, it's salvation, it's Jesus Christ, it's his church and people, it's the body of Christ. You go the other way, it is prison. It is prison. You are enslaved to your desires, to whatever comes your way. You are enslaved to that. Do you want to be a slave to that? Because if you do, then you're on the right path. If you do not want to be a slave to that, you need to choose Jesus and you need to follow that and you need to be serious about it. Can't be messing around. If we want to look in the light of eternity, I think I'm going over time. If we want to look at in the light of eternity and the importance of how much time we actually have here, it's a blip, it's a dot. When God lives outside of time and time is this long, we are pinpoint nothing. But with that amount of time that we have here, we need to get the message out. We need to help others in their walk with Jesus Christ. We need to help them see they don't have to be alone. There are people around them that will support them, that will not judge them, but will love on them and care for them. There does come a time where the actions have to match up. But you know what? Not everyone is in a place to become a holy maniac for Jesus instantly. Not everybody's there. Not everyone's there. But guess what? You can start. And when you fall down, there'll be others around you to pick you up and help you. But it's up to you to choose. You have a choice in anything you do. You have a choice. There's only two. There's never do nothing. There's do it or don't. Because when you do nothing, you're actually not doing it. That's pretty clear, right? Two choices in everything we do. What's it going to be? Jesus was exposed. He was uncovered. And because of him, we don't have to take that anymore. Because we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only just because of his death, but more importantly, because of his resurrection. Because he defeated death. Let's pray. Father, thank you.